Eastern Standard Time, 12 midnight. Good evening.
The following stereo program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. National Public Radio presents a production of the Hollywood Theater of the Year, 2000X. A radio series devoted to stories of the next millennia. Now, here is your host, the award-winning writer and critic, Harlan Ellison.
Among the lot of us who have worked in this bean field, Ted Sturgeon was certainly, if not the best, in the first percentile of the best of the best. Ted was an odd sort of fellow. Ted was a raffish sort of fellow. I brought Ted out from back east many years ago, and he lived with me for a while. It was quite an experience, particularly with him wandering around, sometimes in the nude, and answering the door. The Avon lady, I must tell you, was, in fact, extremely upset about it and called the police on us. But one of the things that we shared was a love of writing. And we understood that if you got tagged as a science fiction writer, the chances of your breaking through into the mainstream and ever having a shot at the brass ring was probably not likely. And so Ted tried many, many, many times to break out of the genre, to write stories that would be sent to the Kenyon Review and the Atlantic and to a Saturday Review and Collier's. And they were always rejected, or almost always rejected. He never had very great success there, as did many of the rest of us. One of the stories that he wrote at one point was a story called Loneliness. It was a wonderful story, and he couldn't sell it anywhere. And he sent it out, and it came back, and he sent it out, and it came back, and he sent it out, and yet again it came back. Until finally he approached Horace L. Gold at Galaxy magazine, just weary and deciding to pack it in and just sell it wherever he could for a few cents a word, which is what we wrote for in those days, 2, 3, 4, 5 cents a word. And Horace Gold said, yeah, I'll buy it, but you got to put a flying saucer in it. You got to put in something science fictional. And so poor Ted did, and Horace retitled it A Saucer of Loneliness, and Ted despised that title. The other story he did around that time was a magnificent triangle story, and it was called Hurricane Trio. And he turned it into, well, the sort of story that we would do here on 2000X. And so we are honored tonight to honor the memory of Theodore Sturgeon. Ladies and gentlemen, Hurricane Trio. Yancey Bowman died once. It was during his vacation, or rather, in a collision with another vehicle on his way home at the end of his vacation. A prematurely terminated vacation that prematurely terminated his life. On his next vacation, he drove more carefully.
Forget it. Just forget it.
He was alive at the time. In fact, far more alive than he'd ever been before his untimely demise.
Okay. Go see if the guy inside can tell us how to get there. I'll fill up the tank.
If he were to tell you how it all came about, which he has sworn never to do, his story would probably start about here, at the beginning of that first vacation.
Excuse me.
Don't need to excuse yourself around here if you're buying something. If you're not, there ain't no excuse for you.
Oh, well, we're at self-serve pump number 5.
There'll be 2 Ben Franklins for a deposit on the gas.
Okay. Here you go. Do you know the way to Autumn Lodge?
Autumn Lodge. Uh-huh. That'll be the old Barringer Meat Ranch. Real picturesque up there, right on the lake.
Oh,
unlucky, though.
Hmm.
Old Barringer never could squeeze a dime out of it. Finally sold it to a pretty young gal from Connecticut. Lois something. Can't recall her last name. Oh, it'll come to me in a minute.
Andrews. Well, her name's on our reservation. It's Lois Andrews.
Andrews. That's right.
Uh-huh.
Sharp as a tack. No nonsense. And as I said, a head turner. Oh, she's doing okay with the Barringer place so far. Younger city folks vacation there that can't afford to go somewhere else better, even with the flood.
Is it nice at the lodge?
I suppose. Cabins look okay from outside. A bit spooky because of the flying. Well,
could you tell me how to get there from here?
Lost, darling.
Well, with the storm and the dark.
Oh. You don't want to get lost on a night like this. You could bang right into one of them flying.
So if you could get us unlost and tell us how to get to Autumn Lodge,
Now, be careful. The road up there is mighty treacherous in the dark, especially with the heavy rain and that. Old Volvo of yours don't look particularly rugged. Besides, you gotta be nuts to be driving at this hour in a heavy storm.
Or lost.
Oh, you city folks is all nuts. I've always said so. You gotta be nuts to live in the city. That's why you get lost. Your brains are all scrambled for all that rush.
Well, the pace of life is very different than it is here, I imagine, but it suits some people.
Nutty people. Pistachios, every last one of you. And then you have the nerve to come in here and call me nuts.
Oh, but I didn't say anything.
Just because of the flying saucer business.
Flying saucer?
Oh, yeah. Flying saucer. I seen one with these two keen eyes. I sure did. Two, maybe three times, and I ain't the only one. Just ask Sol Wheeler's mother-in-law.
What the hell is going on in here? What's taking so long?
This gentleman is warning me about flying saucers.
Mind you. I don't claim it's really from outer space. Could be some hush-hush experimental spy thing that the government is testing in the woods.
Right. That's all we need is to run into a gabby old crackpot.
See, didn't I tell you the city boy called me a crackpot?
Hey, look, do you know how to get to Autumn Lodge, or don't you?
Yeah.
No occasion for rudeness, young man.
Do you mind? It's late. We're tired. We've been on the
road. There's always time for manners.
Let's get our change and go. Okay, Ben?
It has been a trying day for him.
Mm-hmm. City folks is city folks, and never the twain shall meet. Continue the way you are headed and take the next right. The lodge will be at the end of the road, about 10 miles.
Great.
Can't miss it. Ain't nothing else up there except the lake.
And the flying saucer.
I'm Yance Bowman.
Oh, come in. Oh. Before you drown here, let me take a
thank you.
Sorry if we woke you. We didn't know which cabin.
Never mind that. We have 2 weeks to explain ourselves to each other. Now, first of all, you have got to get out of those wet things. Both of you. I'll eat some coffee.
Thanks. I'm chilled to the bone.
We can't.
Sure you can. Not another word. Now, here's the bath. Take a shower. A hot shower. I'll be right back with some towels.
Thank you.
There, now I'll go get your bag. Okay. Hurry now before your muffins get cold.
Muffins? Oh, no, please. Now, don't go to any trouble there. Yancy, what can we do?
Like the lady says, I guess. You first.
A shower? Oh, I couldn't.
It couldn't hurt, Bev. Look in the mirror.
Oh, dear. I'm in sight.
And the door does shut. See? Miracle of modern technology. If you're afraid she'll peep, it even locks. What won't they think up next?
I'm sorry.
Oh, please stop saying that. Bev, I've been hearing it the entire trip up here.
Sorry.
What's the use? All right, you undress while I run the water.
All right.
We're off to a great start. The only vacation I've had in 5 years. I hope the whole 2 weeks isn't like this.
Well, it's my fault for getting us lost.
And for not taking the Volvo in like I asked.
I swear, I don't remember you saying anything about it.
The mechanic on Route 80 nearly cleaned us out. Took almost everything we saved for the trip.
Oh, I hope there's enough hot water for both of us.
You want to stay home and take charge of family business, Bev? Then take charge of family business. Otherwise, go back to work. We could use the money.
What?
Never mind. No use crying over spilt milk.
Oh, Vicky, your hands are cold.
Not for long.
Yes. What else is housed?
Okay.
Maybe she's right outside.
I said okay.
Let me out, please. I'm done.
There you go.
Oh, well, I sure got the chill out.
Oh, God, this feels good. I hope it rains the entire 2 weeks. I'll just stay right here.
Oh, no!
What now?
The black one.
Give me a towel. What black what?
Suitcase. This is all the beach things. Look, I've got my chenille robe, but there's nothing of yours here except your bathing suit.
Bev, this is just your night.
Oh,
Thank you.
Hey, you know what I did? I brought in the wrong suitcase. We just have swimwear here.
Good. Put it on and come on out. The coffee's poured. Oh, come on. Now, all I have on is a flimsy old kimono. Did you come to the lake to be formal? Now, come on. I'll light the fire. I'll get your blanket to throw over your shoulders.
Well, you heard what the lady said.
It feels so odd wearing a beach robe in a stranger's house.
No need to stand on ceremony here. This is your vacation, Mrs. Bowman.
Oh, I feel so naked.
Oh, to me, that's a liberating sensation. I can't sleep if I'm wearing anything.
Oh, sleeping nude gives me nightmares.
Have you always been such a bohemian?
Me? Bohemian?
Unconventional, then.
I don't go out of my way to be unconventional, Mr. Bowman.
Yancey.
Yeah, and please call me Bev. Everybody does.
Okay, Bev. Yancey. I'm Lois. Now, I don't have much use for received wisdom and traditional ideas of right and wrong. I just like to live my life the way it suits me, make my own judgments, and stay out of the way of trouble. I mean, if that makes me bohemian or a hippie.
I'd say that makes you a grown-up.
Why, thank you, Mr. Bowman.
Yancey?
Do you live out here all year?
I'd like to. Ah, the muffins are ready.
Let me help.
No, you sit right there by the fire and stay warm. Oh, I love it up here. But this winter I have to go back to civilization and earn a little money. This place doesn't quite pay for itself yet.
How long have you had it?
This is my second summer here.
What do you do to earn money in town?
Coach, I was on the American diving team in 96 and 2000 Olympics.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, I didn't win anything.
Oh, but still.
But still, it gives me enough of a cachet to earn a decent dime or two coaching. Blueberry muffins.
Huh.
Hot out of the oven.
Oh, I love blueberry muffins. Lois, is something wrong? Are you okay? You look flushed all of a sudden. Do you have a fever?
Me? Oh, no, no. I'm as healthy as a horse. So, what about you? What do you do to keep body and soul together?
Nothing. I mean, this is delicious. I mean, I used to do computer animation, you know, for commercials and websites and training videos, but now I stay home.
Oh, you have kids?
Not yet.
That's enough for you? I'm staying home? Cleaning house?
Well, for the moment, I guess. Jens has a very demanding job, and I want him to have a revitalizing oasis to come home to.
Oh, what kind of job?
He's a biomechanical engineer.
Oh. Well, what exactly is a biomechanical engineer?
I haven't the foggiest idea. Sometimes I don't think Jens does either. Jens, can you tell Lois what it is you do all day in that lab of yours? Jens?
I don't think I could talk coherently right now.
Oh, poor baby. You tired?
Yeah. I'm pretty worn out.
Yeah, you're flushed, too. You're not coming down with something, are you?
Well, rain's quieted down. Let's get you situated.
Oh, I'll gather up our things.
Oh, your wet clothes are hung up in the kitchen.
Lois, listen, just now...
Nancy, don't say anything. You're tired, I'm tired.
But when
you're going to regret anything you have to say to me in that tone of voice.
I got everything.
Oh, well, I'll show you to your cabin.
I'm talking UFOs, ETs, flying saucers right here on the lake.
Why not? It's an ideal spot for a getaway.
When they sap us all with their heat ray, you'll be laughing out the other side of your mouth, young lady. If their intentions was peaceful, why'd they be skulking around?
To avoid having to listen to you. Hello, Lois.
Now, just a goddamn minute.
Oh, hi. Yes, I should pay up and get on my way. What do I owe you?
Now, ring it up.
What's your hurry?
I have a lot to do today.
Well, you're not avoiding me, are you?
Whatever gave you that idea?
Whenever you see me, you seem to run away.
That'll be $23.79.
I am not running away.
Well, then, how about coming by our cabin tonight after dinner for a drink?
With you and Beverly?
Yeah.
Sure. Why not? Thanks.
About 8?
Okay. 8 o'clock's fine. Gotta run. Bye.
You gonna buy something, mister, or you just come around to find somebody to insult?
Where do you keep your snack food?
Right there in front of you, plain for all to see.
Hey, wasn't that Lois coming out just now?
Yeah, sure was.
I shouted hello, but she didn't seem to hear me.
She's dropping by for a drink after dinner.
Oh?
What time?
What are you drinking?
A scotch and soda.
Straight up?
On the rocks, thanks.
Munchie's coming right up.
Pretty fancy munchie. Good, too. So, what's the occasion?
No occasion? Does there have to be an occasion?
We just wanted you to come by so we could thank you for all your hospitality.
You're paying good money for it.
Oh, we think you've gone way above and beyond the call, don't we, Ann?
Especially our first night here.
Well, it was a dark and stormy night.
Bev, we're out of ice.
Oh, dear. Wait, the Johnsons will have some. They're just one cabin over.
But don't bother.
It's no bother. I'll be right back.
So...
You do a terrific job with this place.
Thanks.
I'm a manager myself. I know about these things.
I thought you were an engineer.
I manage the engineering department of my firm.
Ah.
Only 10 days.
What? 10 days?
Knowing you. I want to tell you something, Lois. It's... Oh, it's something I've never told anybody.
Is it something I'm going to want to hear?
It's complimentary, but very personal. It's probably something that you know already.
If you don't mind, I don't think I'll wait for the ice.
Here's your drink.
Thanks.
The night we arrived, you made coffee and I sat at the table. You came up behind me to put something down.
I remember.
You touched me. You just put your hand on my shoulder. And when you touched me, something... happened. It wasn't static electricity. It couldn't have been. It was pouring rain outside. The air was humid, not dry. You were on the bare floor on your bare feet.
Nothing that science can explain?
I talk like an engineer, I know, but... this is a bit difficult for me to talk about. It's a totally new experience for me.
What, talking to a woman?
Talking to a woman like you. Talking about intimate things with a relative stranger.
Maybe you shouldn't. There are some things best left unsaid, best ignored.
I can't ignore that sensation. I can't ignore you. I just have to know if you experienced the same thing I did.
And if I say no?
End of conversation. Sorry for bringing it up.
And if I say yes?
Which is it?
To be honest, yes. You... have been bothering me ever since.
Same here. You're all I think about. I wouldn't use the word bother.
I would. In fact, I just did.
I heard you.
Maybe you didn't hear me clearly enough. I said that I can't get you out of my mind.
That's a bad thing?
You're married.
I thought you didn't hold with conventional morality.
I don't, but Beverly does. I like her, and even if I didn't, I wouldn't want to do anything to hurt her. I don't suppose she would like it very much if you and I were to act out on our impulses.
She doesn't have to know about it.
But I would. And I'm no fan of guilty secrets.
And let me get this straight. If she knew about it and gave her permission, that would be okay with you?
You want to ask her?
Are you serious?
Sure. Why not? I'd love to hop into bed with you, if only to get you out of my system.
What if I stay in your system?
Go ask your wife's permission, and we may both find out.
I can't do that.
Of course you can't. You can't because you know how it would make her feel.
I can't because I don't know how. This is all new to me. I've never cheated on Beverly. Never wanted to.
So why start now?
Because I never felt this sort of overwhelming attraction before.
Well, that being the case, you have no business having this conversation with me.
I don't agree.
Then you don't care any more about my feelings than you do about your wife's.
That's not true.
It isn't?
Isn't it better to get this out in the open rather than keep it all bottled up?
Good. Good. Let's wait until Beverly gets back, and then we can all three can uncork.
God, no.
I think I better go.
Don't. Look, I'm not trying to seduce you.
What the hell are you trying to do, Mr. Bone?
I don't know. I just want to express how I feel to find out how you feel.
Oh, you've done that, then. It's time for me to go.
Lois.
Don't touch me. It's taking all... the strength I can muster to keep my hands off of you. Touch me and my control will go out the window.
Would that be so horrible?
Yes. Don't press your advantage.
I have the advantage?
Yes. And you have no idea how much I want you to use it against me, so please, don't.
Not even a kiss?
Especially not a kiss.
Well, I'll give your apologies to Beth.
Thank you.
Oh, I need a shower. A nice, long, cold shower.
Oh, the Johnsons weren't in their cabin, but I lucked out at the Magruder's. Aunt, where's Lois?
She left.
Oh.
Bev, I've had enough of this place. Let's go home.
When? Now?
The sooner the better.
Okay. If you want to.
If you want to.
Did you say something, Ant?
Now, tell me, Beverly. Why do you always go along with what I want to do? Don't you have a mind of your own?
Well, I guess what you want is always what I want.
Well, what I want to do right now is zip down this road at twice the speed limit. Is that what you want?
Well, I wouldn't mind slowing down a bit.
Then why did you tell me so?
I just did, Yancey.
Yeah, but I had to ask. I had to push you into telling me what you want.
Do you want me to tell you to slow down, Yance?
I just want you once to tell me what you want.
I want what you want?
That's sick.
It's not sick. I like making you happy.
Your being a doormat does not make me happy, Beverly. You want to know what it makes me? Angry.
I wasn't trying to make you angry, Yance.
You're succeeding in spite of yourself, Beverly, and that makes me even angrier.
Maybe you should take it a little easier on these curves, Yance.
Well, I don't want to. I want to go even faster.
Well, then go faster. What do you want from me? Just tell me what you want me to do. Yes, what do you want me to... No!
Benjamin Franklin?
Not really.
You look like Benjamin Franklin.
That's intentional.
I'm surprised you even know about Benjamin Franklin, where you come from.
We wouldn't presume to visit another world without studying up on it first. That would be rude.
Well, you've abducted me. Isn't that a little rude?
We haven't abducted you, Mr. Bowman. We rescued you.
You did?
Yes. Believe me, Mr. Bowman, if you didn't require our intervention, we never would have taken you aboard.
Oh, so I can go whenever I want to.
Well, perhaps you should remain just a little longer. You haven't fully recovered.
Recovered? From what?
Let me explain it this way. Late one night on cable, they showed this cheap old movie.
You get cable? In outer space, you get cable?
Well, no, but we enjoy it when we're here.
You come often?
To us? I wouldn't say often.
Why?
Pardon me?
I asked why you come to this tiny little planet.
It's very pretty here.
Pretty?
Well, beautiful, in fact. At least, we think so. Besides, we go everywhere.
Why?
Mr. Bowman, it's best that you let me finish my story. May I?
Oh, sure, sure. I sound like a little kid, don't I? Why? I'm sorry for interrupting.
Well, it's quite all right. I'm sure you have a million questions, but may I continue?
By all means.
Maybe you've seen this film. It was made, I'd guess somewhere in the middle of the last century. Peter Graves, that was the actor's name. Peter Graves is a jet pilot who crashes and wakes up in a deep, dark cave. He's still a little groggy, but he thinks he sees somebody putting a beating heart into his chest. He falls back asleep, and when he wakes up again, a man with ping-pong ball eyes tells him that his plane had crashed and that he was blown into a million pieces and that he, the ball-eyed man, who comes from outer space, had put him back together again.
I think I saw that. Doesn't Peter Graves end up running around in front of rear projection blow-ups of Gila monsters?
I believe so. My point is that something like that has happened to you.
I'm going to be chased by Gila monsters?
No, no. Your car crashed. You died. We put you back together again.
I died?
Unfortunately so.
And you revived me? You called me back from the dead?
In a manner of speaking, we did.
Who's we?
We. Us. The crew of this vehicle. You see, we were lifting off as you drove by, and your sedan struck one of our berthing feet before we could retract it.
This isn't happening.
In a manner of speaking, it isn't.
If it were really happening, I'd be hysterical. I wouldn't be sitting here calmly talking to the face on a $20 bill. I'd be shouting, "Where am I? Who are you?" and all that sort of thing. And while we're on the subject, who the hell are you?
A living organism like yourself. And the reason why you don't rise up an alarm is that you can't. You've been sedated. You're asleep and more or less dreaming at the moment, which is the best way for us to bridge language and cultural barriers in order to communicate with you.
And I'm dreaming right now?
More or less.
So you really don't look like Benjamin Franklin?
No, but it's a reassuring image, isn't it?
But only an image. And you don't really speak English?
We understand English, but we really don't speak it. Not the way you do. We can, however, communicate quite lucidly to all sentient creatures in the way we're communicating to you right now.
As a figment of my imagination?
Of your cerebral cortex. On the other hand, the collision was no figment. I assure you, the accident did indeed occur. Your car was destroyed and you were killed.
I'm dead?
You were. As I was trying to explain to you about Peter Graves, a very similar situation, except the ball-eyed man caused his plane to crash on purpose, and this was an accident.
Oh, my insurance won't cover this.
No need. You and your car are as good as new. Better, actually.
What do you mean, better?
We made a few improvements.
What kind of improvements?
Now, here's where our dream technology breaks down. There's no analog in your language or experience to the kind of operation, for want of a better word, that you have undergone. We have no way of expressing it so that you can understand.
Well, am I better looking?
You won't be bothered by sebaceous cysts anymore, but I wouldn't say better looking.
Stronger?
Probably. You see, we're a little shy when it comes to publicity. The people of your world behaving very erratically towards strangers. So we did nothing that can be easily detected, nothing visible. You look exactly like your old pre-accident self.
But I'm new and improved on the inside.
You could say that.
Smarter?
Smart is a concept so vague that I can't answer you.
What about my car?
New and improved, as you say.
Oh, and my wife.
Safe and sound.
Where is she?
Resting comfortably. You'll see each other again when we put you both back in your car and send you on your way.
And when will that be?
When we're confident that you are completely healed. And when we've gotten your assurance of silence.
My assurance of what?
Silence. As I said, we don't particularly want our presence known.
And if I don't agree to keep silent?
If you won't, you won't. But it's to your advantage. You know what happens to people who talk about being abducted by aliens. It will totally alter your life and not to the better. We wouldn't want anything bad to happen to you.
Why not?
After we went to all the trouble of fixing you?
Why did you bother? You could have just covered your tracks and left us to our fate.
That wouldn't be neighborly, would it? No, Mr. Bowman, we have profound respect for life, all life. For instance, we took no less care in repairing the bees, crickets, and skunk who perished in your accident than we did in repairing you.
Did you approve them as well?
Well, certainly. We're not barbarians.
I suppose the skunk now smells like Chanel.
The skunk does have some interesting features he didn't used to have.
What about my new features?
What about them?
What are they?
Like the skunk, your old features have been enhanced, that's all.
Enhanced? How?
We don't know exactly. What we did, we can't explain because you wouldn't understand it. What the effects will be, well, Only time will tell. I'll give you some examples. We took out your appendix. Invisible. When we reconstructed your left foot, we put the little toe back deformed as it was before.
Oh.
Visible. We made you new teeth with the same irregularities as appeared in your real ones. Same fillings, too, you'll notice.
Oh.
Seeing that your jaw hinges had a tendency to dislocate, we fixed that. So a potential for pain and inconvenience has been eliminated. You will never feel a jaw problem.
Wow.
Better mastication will lead to better digestion, which will lead to better health, which could lead to longer life, to better disposition.
There's nothing wrong with my disposition.
I didn't say there was. But was it perfect?
Damn near, I'd say.
Well, it's even damned nearer. For instance, you asked about your car long before you asked about your wife. According to prevailing community values here, that isn't very nice. Over time, your priorities could change.
What, I'm going to get nicer?
You'll think more clearly about what's important to you.
Because you fixed my jaw?
Partly. We also did considerable work on your brain.
You messed with my brain?
Don't worry. We haven't altered your identity whatsoever. Your core self is still the core self of the old Yancey Bowman. But we had to reconstruct your brain. In fact, we had to give you a pretty thorough overhaul if we were to revive you in satisfactory shape. And just like your car, only when you're back on the road will you be able to gauge your post-operative performance.
First I'm a skunk, now I'm a car. Do I get any sort of warranty?
No need. We do excellent work, trust me.
Why should I? How do I know you didn't engineer the accident for your own insidious purposes?
You'll have to take my word for it, just as I have to take your word that you'll tell no one about this.
As you said, I have a damn good reason to keep my mouth shut. And what's your motivation?
Restoration hides our tracks, as it were.
And the improvements?
Consider them a kind of apology.
Surely you're not doing this out of the kindness of your heart.
Quote, the heart has its reasons that reason knows not of.
Pascal, you guys do your homework.
Well, we try.
Was that little quote supposed to answer my question?
Do you not believe in kindness, Mr. Bowman?
I have no faith in it.
We can't predict every situation you might find yourself in from now on. It's deeply important to us, and it will be to you, to conceal the changes that have been made. The best concealment is your full knowledge of what we've done, and a solemn injunction to divulge nothing of it to anyone. That way you can never innocently perform miracles and then be at a loss to explain them.
What miracles?
Manifestations of your streamlined functioning, things you must not reveal. You shouldn't even discuss them with Mrs. Bowman.
What's to discuss? You really haven't told me anything. I don't know who you are, where you come from, or what you look like.
Are you saying that you promise to keep the accident and its aftermath secret?
Well, I guess so.
Thank you, Mr. Bowman. Now I think I should withdraw from your mind and let you get some rest.
No, wait a minute. You got to tell me who you are.
Really makes no difference. You won't remember this conversation. Just the underlying principles. When you wake, you'll be back driving as you were before the crash, your wife safely beside you. You'll experience the same thoughts and emotions as just before the crash.
Or at least, just tell me your name.
I don't really have one. But you can call me...
Jesus Christ!
Yes. Are you okay?
Oh, wow, we nearly crashed.
I know.
I never should have taken that curve so fast. You told me to slow down, Bev. I should have listened to you.
That's okay. It's over now. Let's just get home in one piece, okay?
In a moment, the Hollywood Theater of the Ear will return with the conclusion of Hurricane Trio. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Good morning, you're listening to 91.3 WYSO. Coming up at 1 o'clock, it's the BBC World Service.
Abortion, pro or con? Death penalty, for or against? Affirmative action, wrong or right? You might be sure where you stand, but get ready to have your convictions challenged by some of the savviest attorneys in the country. I'm Margot Adler. Join me for Justice Talking. No ranting and raving, just smart people making good arguments on tough issues.
Monday night at 11 on 91.3 WYSO.
Have you missed programs in the 2000X series? Would you like to have your own copies? Well, you can now find 2000X and other fine NPR programs on the World Wide Web. I'll give you the Internet address at the end of today's program so that you may have pencil and paper handy. For now, here once again is your host, Harlan Ellison.
And now, Act Two of Hurricane Trio.
Are you sleeping?
Huh? Oh, no. No, not really. Why, you want to talk?
I don't want to keep you up if you're...
No, it's okay. I like chatting in bed with the lights out. Well, what's on your mind, Jens? What?
I really feel foolish for asking.
Asking what?
Bev.
Huh?
Have I changed?
Changed?
Since last year, I mean. Since the vacation. Do I seem different? Have you noticed any improvements?
Improvements? Well, you're better about leaving the toilet seat down.
Oh, come on, seriously.
I don't know. You're nice, but you were always nice. You can catch bees with your bare hands. Why?
No reason. A new job and whatnot.
Well, it hasn't gone to your head, if that's what you mean.
No.
No, in fact, just the opposite. It seems to have invigorated you. You seem more, I don't know, more alert.
Alert? You mean hyper?
No, because at the same time, you're more relaxed. You take things more in stride. You laugh more. You worry less.
There's less to worry about. You're doing very well. Mm-hmm. More money, more security.
Yeah, and more responsibility. They keep throwing things at you at work. Oh, anything goes wrong, they give it to you to fix. You're juggling millions of dollars and a huge staff and impossible deadlines, but you seem to toss it off like it was nothing. Mm-hmm. Like on Sunday. You remember out on the patio when that bee was buzzing around my head and you just plucked it out of the air? Well, that's how you handle work. You're actually spending more time with me, which, by the way, I like a whole lot, even though you have more to do.
Well, there wouldn't be much point to the work if it didn't lead to a better life, would it?
Oh, are you implying that hanging out more with your wife is a better life?
That is what I'm discovering.
Well, that's nice to know. Come over here and keep me warm.
If you're chilly, why don't you put something on?
Because I'm not comfortable wearing clothes in bed anymore. Besides, why should I? When I have my Bowman brand carbon-based Energy Star compliant, you will approve state-sanctioned bed warmer.
You've changed.
Me? How?
I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it. But you're just like you always were, only more so.
I don't understand.
I don't know how else to put it. For instance, you've always tried to fulfill my needs and desires.
Well, I like doing that.
I know, but it used to get on my nerves, and it doesn't anymore. You do it differently somehow.
No, it's you, not me. People grow with time, perceptions change, and you're just seeing things in a new light.
I don't think so. You seem to know what I want before I do.
Oh, you mean like the vacation?
What vacation?
Our next vacation, the one we both want to take. Didn't you ask Ray for some time off?
That was supposed to be a surprise. How did you...
I've been investigating some possibilities. Maybe revisit New England?
Oh, no, not Autumn Lodge again.
No. You didn't like it there. Besides, it's for people on a budget, and we don't have to play on nickels and dimes anymore. But, you know, the area was nice, and I thought you might like to give it another chance. See, I've got it here somewhere. I found a place right on the ocean. Ah, see? Here, look. We can rent a shack.
Oh, pretty fancy shack.
Mm-hmm. We can fish and swim and dig little necks and...
It's perfect.
I thought so. And best of all, there are no flying saucers.
Huh?
You remember that little old man in the convenience store near Autumn Lodge?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The guy who saw flying saucers and wouldn't shut up?
Yeah.
That's... all you meant about flying saucers? The crusty old guy in the store?
What else would I mean?
I thought... maybe you were referring to the crash.
What crash?
The near crash we had on the road going home.
Well, what does that have to do with flying saucers?
Not a goddamn thing, I suppose.
Well, there aren't any little green men where we're going.
Or Benjamin Franklin's either, I hope.
What about Benjamin Franklin?
Nothing, Beth. Nothing, but if we see a tall, chubby, bald old geezer with a kite, I think we ought to go home.
It's a deal.
Bev! Bev, come on, we have to pack up.
Why? What's wrong?
I just heard on the radio there's a hurricane coming. Come on. Come on.
Hurricane? Oh, dear. We just don't have any luck with vacations. Oh, any luck?
No, they're booked solid. It's the hurricane. We're not the only tourists who are looking for shelter.
Oh, obviously not. The place is packed.
You know, they've even set up cots in the linen closet, and those are spoken for.
No.
I hope you didn't leave anything back in the cabin, Bev, because tomorrow the cabin probably won't be there.
Well, what are we going to do, Yance?
Well, we have a little time. The hurricane's not supposed to hit the coast full force for another 3 or 4 hours, so we're going to have a drink, and then we're going to have some hot chowder, and then we're going to work out
Yance,
some...
Yance, look! Lois! Lois!
Oh, Christ.
Yance, you remember Lois?
Hello again, Nancy.
Oh, hello, Lois.
Well, whatever are you doing here?
Same as you, I guess. Trying to find shelter for the night and striking out.
Well, hey, we were just heading to the restaurant.
So was I.
Well, let's go together.
So I sold the lodge and moved to Boston. I discovered I didn't like Boston. And now I don't know what I'm going to do or where I'm going to go. I came up here to do some thinking and let the wind blow the smog out of my hair. Now I'm afraid it'll take the hair, too. But enough of that depressing stuff. You two are looking a little different, healthier, and more prosperous. Everything going well?
Oh, yes. They put Yance in charge of a whole division of the company. In another year, he'll be running the place.
Oh, I doubt that.
Well, I don't.
You still a full-time homemaker?
Well, yes and no. I'm working out of the house doing freelance computer animation.
She's got a contract with the Children's Video Workshop. She does all those singing, dancing alphabets.
Those are yours? Well, they're terrific.
Oh, well, thank you.
What about kids?
Well, not yet. Yance thinks maybe in a few months things will quiet down at the shop and we can begin to work in a family. How about you? You married or anything?
Neither married or anything.
You got something in your throat, Yance?
Not in my throat, no.
Lois, don't you get lonely?
Oh, if I start getting lonely, I'll get a dog.
Oh, you must have a low opinion of men.
No, I may want one from time to time. I just don't need one.
Oh, I do. I don't know what I'd do without Yance. My life wouldn't have any purpose. It wouldn't have any joy. Everybody needs someone or something outside of themselves to give life meaning.
Not if they're egotistical enough.
Oh, you an egotist?
Oh, definitely. Well, for instance, I did find a guy I liked. Well, I don't know if I like him all that much, but I have a yen for him that just won't quit. And I haven't seen him for 10, 11 months. I just just can't forget him.
Well, what's the matter? Is he out of the country or something?
Worse. He's married. So, I can't have him. And if I can't have him, I sure don't want to settle for someone less exciting. Therefore, I'm selling him. Well, either until he becomes available or I meet somebody who shakes me up as much or more.
Not very practical.
But very egotistical, don't you agree?
No, I don't agree at all. Sometimes it's better to go all or nothing.
You could wind up with nothing.
Well, better nothing than just making do. Don't you think so, Lois?
I don't know what to think. Now, when it comes to this one particular guy, thinking doesn't enter in. The brain isn't the part of my anatomy that's engaged. It's just sex, pure sex. And, well, it comes down to it, sex isn't all that important, is it?
Well, if there's someone you're preoccupied with night and day...
That's just an itch you have to scratch.
If you really thought that, you wouldn't be so uncompromising about this man. What do you think, Yan?
What do I think?
Yeah, I'm a little curious about that myself.
Yeah, well, I think that a taboo, an all-consuming attraction, can be an agonizingly bittersweet thing. Every soul-devouring jab of frustration comes with an equally powerful exhilaration. You want to push it out of your mind, at the same time you want the thrill to continue. It's a continual barrage of shocks, like being thrust from ice-cold water into hot, and from hot to cold, back and forth, without let-up.
Hmm. Well, that's the hell of it, exactly.
It sounds awful.
Oh, it's bearable, as long as I can keep enough distance between me and him. But if I were to ever see him...
Excuse me, ladies, if you will excuse me, please. I am going to pay the bill, and then, Bev, we've got to get on the road.
You're staying here?
There's nothing they can do about it.
What exactly does that mean?
I just got in an hour and a half ago. I never dreamed I'd need a reservation. Funny, isn't it? After my experience. Anyway, they're full up. I shall just sit here until they want to close the place. I will then be a problem, and it'll be up to them to solve it. Oh, I've solved worse ones in my time.
Oh, Lois, you can't. They'll make you sleep on the bar. Yancey, you remember a time when two wet strangers couldn't find their beds? You remember what happened? It's our turn. Now we're going down the coast. We'll find a place for all of us. Come on.
Oh, no, really?
Come on. There's that same funny man. You remember him?
Hey, have you seen any flying saucers lately, old-timer?
Huh? Do I know you, young fella?
Oh, probably not. I came in here a couple of times last summer.
Ah. Huh. Don't recognize your car. I never forget a car.
I didn't have the BMW then.
Yes,
a
paperback.
Well, you better get that shiny new convertible under some shelter. We're in for a full-blown hurricane.
Yeah, I would, but your pumps don't seem to work.
Well, I locked them up. Didn't you hear me? A hurricane's coming.
I know, I heard, but we can't go very far without gas. Hey, you need a hand with that?
Oh, I'd be obliged. Just me or to board up all the windows. Here, grab that. Oh, now, here.
I got the...
All right. Yeah. Oh. Ain't going to get very far even with gas. Most of the roads is already underwater.
Well, where's the nearest hotel?
You want the nearest place that'll still be standing in the morning.
Where might that be?
Oh, it's about 10 miles due south on 22. The ocean tied in. Can't miss it. It's nice. Not while there's still some light out, so you better get a move on.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, that's it.
The ocean tied in. Uh-huh. Well, thanks for the tip.
Can I buy this?
Anna Karenina? Since when are you a Tolstoy fan?
Oh, I've always wanted to read it.
Oh, keep it, Mrs. Your husband's. He's been helping me, and I've already closed the register.
Thanks.
Volvo.
What?
Used to have an old beat-up Volvo. I remember you now. You come in here and made fun of me about flying saucers.
Believe me, since then I have learned to respect flying saucers.
We only have one room left, sir. A double.
Oh,
that's
nuts. It? We don't have enough gas to look for another place.
Or time, by the looks of it. The storm's going to break loose any minute.
They were saying on the radio that the hurricane's turned east. We're going to get plenty wet. But except for some flooding, they say we won't get a lot of damage.
Still can't go anywhere.
Wait a minute. That room, does it have a double bed or twin beds?
Twin beds.
Oh, really? We can't.
Well, why not? Yes, and I can fit in a twin bed. I'm not very big.
No, you're not.
Bev!
Shh. We'll take it.
All right, this is it. Come on. Oh. All right, where's the light?
Move on in, Bev.
Okay, I have first dibs on the job. All right, let's see what we got here. Oh, plenty of hangers, thank goodness.
Hmm.
Here, hon, give me your jacket.
Here, enjoy yourself.
Darling, what is it? What do you want?
Beverly, your capacity for giving amazes me. You know that?
Your heart's thumping like a sledgehammer.
Oh.
Well, here we are. Small for three people, this room. I hope neither of you snore.
No.
Do you? Never stayed up to find out.
Well, I don't know about you two, but I'm pretty pushed.
Well,
me
so
too.
Am I.
So, what are we going to do about the beds? Toss a coin?
You're already sitting on that one, so I guess I'll take this one.
Okay.
And why don't I change in the John? You two can change out here and then knock on the door when it's okay for me to come out.
Okay. Beverly.
Huh?
Perhaps this isn't such a good idea.
Well, there aren't a whole lot of alternatives, are there?
Well, I can hang out in the lobby or something.
Well, by now the lobby is full.
Well, I don't think I'm going to get much sleep up here.
Well, at least you have a bed. You get some rest, even if you can't sleep.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. Look, I just don't feel comfortable doing this.
Get over it.
What?
Get over it. Goodness. I thought I was Victorian.
You don't know what you're asking.
I don't?
You don't get it, do you?
Get what?
For Christ's sake, Beverly, I am in love with your husband.
You have good taste.
That's it? That's all you have to say?
Look, will you have any less of a passion for Yance downstairs huddled with strangers or outside to the wind and rain? And feel any better there than in here?
No.
And stop being silly. Lois?
Mm-hmm.
You mind a personal question?
Depends. What is it?
You still sleep in the nude?
Yes. Why?
So do I.
It's you I should lust for. Mm.
Did you say something, Aunt?
No. You're awake, Lois.
I'm already awake. Has anybody in this room been getting any rest?
I'm okay.
Awesome. Well, I for one can't sleep. I have 19 chapters of Anna Karenina to read. It'll take me about an hour.
Yancy?
Hmm.
Now, what was it she picked up from the night table?
Her watch.
Oh. Huh. I couldn't do that.
I couldn't do that. Lois, you know something?
Oh, please. Yeah, it's no more big revelations.
Oh, don't worry. This is a little one. On our way home from Auden Lodge, Bev and I, we got into a kind of fender bender. We got a little banged up.
Anything serious?
No. At least nothing that couldn't be fixed up. And after the accident, I was as good as new. Better, in fact.
Was Beverly hurt?
Well, this is what I'm getting to. Bev seemed to come out of it without a scratch. At least I thought so at the time. Now I'm not so sure. I wonder if she didn't get a little fixing up too.
You don't know?
No.
Weren't you in the emergency room together?
It wasn't your typical ER. I don't know what, if anything, they did to her. And I'll never find out.
Why don't you ask her?
I could, I suppose. But I don't think I will. I think the mystery of it is a beautiful thing. I think every marriage needs a little mystery.
I don't understand what you're saying. Does this have some bearing on our situation here tonight?
Well, maybe not. Maybe it has everything to do with it.
So? We seem to have an hour just to ourselves. What do you want to do?
Bev. Beverly.
Yes?
Get back to bed, you idiot. You can read that some other time. You need your sleep.
You have been listening to Hurricane Trio, based on a story by Theodore Sturgeon. And in the cast you heard, Miriam Flynn as Beverly, Alan Miller as Yancey, James Otis as the store clerk, Caitlin Hopkins as Lois, and Norman Corwin as the alien. The play, written, produced, and directed by Yuri Rasovsky. Warren Dewey was our engineer.
In addition to these NPR broadcasts, 2000X may be downloaded from the Internet at www.audible.com, where you will find a library of 22,000 hours of spoken word audio. The 2000X series may be listened to at your PC or on a variety of Audible-ready mobile digital audio players for listening anytime, anywhere. www.audible.com. ...2000X is produced by the Hollywood Theater of the Ear in association with National Public Radio. Stefan Rudnicki is executive producer, Harlan Ellison host and story consultant, and Yuri Rasovsky project director. Jerry Summers composed the series' theme music. Other music heard in this program was provided by Pro Music Incorporated. Other services were contributed by John Tierney, Carol McFadden, the media staff, Laura Kellogg, Rusty Warren, and Dick Orkin Creative Services. Major support for this program has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts. Additional support comes from the Wallace Reader's Digest Funds, seeking to enrich community life through support of education, arts, and culture. And Borders Books and Music, celebrating the arts by supporting cultural programming on NPR. www.borders.com. I'm Robert Foxworth, and this is NPR, National Public Radio.
10 by Morm, a new 10-hour series of short stories by master writer W. Somerset Maugham, read by spellbinding actors on PRI, Public Radio International.
Some wry English humor begins tomorrow night at midnight on the WYSO Midnight Mysteries with 10 by Maugham. On Wednesday night, we conclude the adventures of Sherlock Holmes' Adventure of the Bruce Partington Plans, and we'll hear episode 3 in the four-parter, Mr. Ricky Calls a Meeting, from L.A. Theater Works. It's a meeting in which the Brooklyn Dodgers owner Branch Rickey, boxer Joe Louis, actor-singer Paul Robeson, and Negro League official Bill Bojangles Robinson discuss how they might take a promising black ball player from the Montreal Maroons named Jackie Robinson and have him play in the all-white major leagues. Mr. Ricky Calls a Meeting during the Wednesday night Midnight Mysteries. And on Thursday, we continue with more from Beyond 2000 on WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, or WYSO.org, your source for NPR and more. Coming up in just a moment, we go to London for overnight coverage from the BBC World Service. Eastern Standard Time is 1 a.m.